Bibles, if you would, and please turn with me to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 16 down through 25. James chapter 1, verses 16 down through 25. Title of the message this morning is simply Pleasing God. Pleasing God. You and I should really, truly have a desire to please God. Should be something that is part of who we are. Because we have received Christ as our Savior, He's given us eternal life. We are part of His family and grafted in, and therefore we should have an overriding desire to please God. When you come down to James chapter 1, verses 16 through 25, you find a text that gives us some instruction on how to begin to really work in the direction of pleasing God in our lives. So I'm going to read that text to you, and then we're going to look at it. I'm going to bring it forth to you in three different pieces. And so we're going to look at that as we come down through. But first, I'm going to read it to you. James chapter 1, verses 16 down through 25. It says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." This person shall be blessed in his deeds. You and I looking to please God. For truly, what greater goal, what greater objective is to be blessed by the Lord? To please Him and honor Him and have Him desire to bless us in our lives. When we look at verse 16, we begin to understand that that means we need to shape our behavior. So we find here that we must line up our social manners with God's Word. And so when you look at verse 19, He gives to us some steps to take. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." When we look at that, we understand that God wants us to temper ourselves, put a governor on ourselves, so that we might learn to live a life that honors Him. When you look at verse 16, He starts off by saying to us, verse 19, He starts off by saying, "Wherefore." That word "wherefore" references the previous things that have been said. So the previous things let us understand something about that verse 19. We're going to look at verse 17. Look with me. It says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, of whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." He tells us that all those good and perfect things in our lives, they come down from God the Father above. You and I, when we count our blessings and name them one by one, we're counting the blessings that God has poured forth on our lives. So also are the good gifts of that which we do. Maybe you're a gifted electrician or a gifted scientist or a gifted teacher or a gifted mom raising boys and girls at home, or you're a gifted prayer warrior. The list goes on and on. Those good gifts come from the Father above. But also these three gifts that He's talking about in verse 19. In fact, verse 18 reminds us that you and I are the first fruits of Christ. Therefore, we should manifest Christ. Listen to verse 18 again.
of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. You and I, honoring him, glorifying him, reflecting him in our lives. And then in verse 19, he gives to us three things that reflect that first fruit nature of you and I being in Christ. Three things that are good gifts coming down from the Heavenly Father above. And what are those three gifts? The gift to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Every one of us in this room, you and I would do well to step back and ask ourselves, am I manifesting those gifts in my life? Am I, as the first fruit of Jesus Christ, am I taking that goodness that God offers to me and utilizing it in my life? Swift to hear. Being that person who's willing to listen to others. Being that person who's in tune with the struggles and suffering of others rather than trying to outdo them or outtalk them in what's going on in their lives. Being that person that when you come home from work and your spouse has had a hard day too, are you there to listen or only there to talk? The good gift of learning to listen is from God above. And you and I, every one of us, would do well to learn to exercise that gift to learn to listen. Swift to hear. One of the things I had to learn early on in marriage was Sandra Jo wasn't always talking to me to ask me to fix everything. You know, after a while, she would look at me and say, Tim, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen to me. Because as soon as she starts, I'm trying to think, yeah, I can fix that. I can fix that. She just wanted me to listen. And I had to learn that. I had to work at that. Because I'm ready to, oh, I got it. Let me fix it. No, I just want you to listen to me. Well, you know what? So much of life is taking that gift of being swift to hear. Whether it's on our job or in our home or in our church, learning to listen to others is a great gift from God, and it helps to shape us in the image of Christ. But look what he says in that verse 19. Not only is this a gift of being swift to hear, secondly, he says, slow to speak. In other words, while we're listening, we're not thinking, okay, what do I need to say? What do I need to say? What do I need to say? You know, always ready to say. Not even hearing what's being said because we're so quick to say. He's saying, slow to speak. Contemplating and considering and patiently responding so that we don't go ahead and insert our foot in our mouth. Has that ever happened to any of you before? You don't have to raise your hand. That's okay. That's all right. Yeah, it's happened to all of us, hasn't it? When we have spoken too fast, we've said what we shouldn't say too fast. Our brain engaged at the same time our mouth did, but our brain was lagging a little behind. God says, hey, I have a gift for you. That gift is to learn to listen and to slow down what you say. Slow it down. And then the third one he gives to us, let's say it together, is slow to wrath. Let's say that together. Slow to wrath. Some of you slept through it. Let's do it one more time. Slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. You know, we oftentimes talk about counting to 10. You know, people will say, well, when I get upset, I just count to 10. Listen, for a lot of people, 10's not enough. You need to maybe count to 100 or go for a walk. Slow to wrath. He says this is part of what will shape us and make us more in the image of Christ as the first fruits of our Lord Jesus Christ, manifesting the gifts of God in our life. Take the wisdom he's giving to us. Learn to listen. Learn to talk less. And slow down the wrath. In fact, look at verse 20. He gives to us a real good pointer when it comes to this wrath. He says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's a mouthful. When you and I get angry and start to spew off and throw a tantrum and get upset, He says, that's not the righteousness of God at work. The wrath of man, don't blame it on God. You know, lots of people like to blame things on God. Well, you know what? God stirred me up to do that. You know, that it's righteous anger. And God's saying, oh, wait a minute, I have nothing to do with what you just did. He's saying the wrath of man is not the righteousness of God. So slow it down. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It shapes us and forms us if we will take it and apply it. So as we come down in our text, learning how to praise God, please God in our lives, learning how to honor Him that He might bless us, He gives to us that first one of shaping our social manners, learning how to interact one with another in a way that uses the gift of God's. Second thing I want you to see is in verse 21. We must line our spiritual soul up with God's teaching as well. Not just, you know, the gospel is not a social, it's not a social gospel. It's not something that just shapes us socially, but it's spiritual. It changes us spiritually and eternally. And that's what he goes on to say here in verse 21. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So he starts showing us how to deal with sin properly. And you might think to yourself, well, sin is not a real problem in my life. Well, yeah, it is. Because the Bible says that if you say you do not sin, you call God a liar, because God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us struggles with the sin nature. It's part of the DNA that we have spiritually that passed on all the way from Adam and Eve, all the way down from the original parents, and we still bear it today. And so he tells us here, recognize that which is filthy, that which is unclean, that which is unholy, that which is unrighteous in your life. How's he say it? Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So we learn to lay aside, in other words, repent of those things in our lives that so easily beset us, is the way the Bible says it. Those sins that tug at us and drag us down. This morning, as I got all dressed and I was leaving the house this morning, we have the five little grand boys staying with us for a little while. And so one of the little twins had a muffin in his hand, and he jumped out of his seat and he came over and he's reaching out at me to hug me before I leave. And I'm in my dress clothes. I'm coming to the come to church, and I've done this with them before. It's not like, you know, like a grandma will hug you, and she's going to gently hug you, not those twins. They're going to grab me by the neck. They're going to mash the muffin in on me. Then they're going to drag the muffin down across me. So I said, no. I'll see you later. And he got this kind of dejected and sorrowful look, you know, and I felt a little bad walking out, but I had walked out unscathed. That was a pretty big thing for me to have happen. So you have to recognize sometimes those things that will soil you in life. For me, it was the muffin. I didn't want that all over me. In all of our lives, there are things that we know that if we get involved in them, they're going to soil us spiritually. Spiritually. And so he's telling us, he's saying, learn to recognize those things that are unclean. He says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That is the act of repentance. That is the act of putting it aside so that it does not impair you, soil you in your personal life, even in salvation itself. Without repentance, there is no salvation. You and I, we have to come to that place where we recognize, I am a sinner. And I need a Savior. I am soiled. I fall short of the holiness of God. Therefore, I need to come to Him in repentance, putting aside that superfluity, that filthiness, and reaching out to His righteousness. And he links that together in verse 21 there. Because you and I, in order to please God, we need to line our spiritual man up with God. That's why in verse 21, listen again to what he says. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Every once in a while, I'll talk to somebody about the gospel, and they'll say to me, well, I've always been a Christian. And I'll say to them, well, was there a time when you received the gift of Christ? Is there a time when you received the message of the gospel? Is there a time when you received that word of truth? And they're perplexed because they've been taught, well, you're a Christian because mom and dad were Christians. You're a Christian because you go to church. You're a Christian because you wear a cross. I mean, there's a lot of things that people think makes them a Christian. But here he makes it very clear. He says, you and I, we need to repent of our sins, and then we need to go ahead and embrace. We need to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Salvation is an important part. It is an integral part of eternal life. Saved from hell and saved for heaven. And we do that by receiving the engrafted word, receiving the message of Jesus Christ in our life. And I love that in verse 21, he uses a word here that catches our attention. He says, and receive with meekness. Don't you love that word? Meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You and I, we come humbly before God. And we receive the message of the gospel. And we do it with meekness. It's not a haughty arrogance. It's not a self-righteous, prideful act. It is the humility of bowing before God and saying, yes, God, I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me, and I receive you as my Savior. It's a powerful text in teaching us to align our lives with a holy and righteous God. If we want to please Him, we need to be sure that we are a child of His. You might have heard it 100 times, but it has to one day strike you in the heart, and you've got to say, yes, I need to receive the engrafted word of truth. I need to meekly, humbly bow myself before God. If we're going to please Him, we must be one of His, a child of God, born into His family, engrafted into that tree of life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here that He gives to us a couple different things that begin to shape us and make us. We alter our social behavior by learning to do 3 things. Those 3 things are swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Second thing we do if we're going to please God is to make sure that our lives are in line with Him. Repenting of our sin, receiving with meekness the engrafted word of God, that we ourselves might be saved, a child of God. Then we come down to the third one. I want you to look with me at verses 22 through 25, because this is the one that hits the closest to home for everybody. Listen to verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed of the Lord. He's telling us, if you want the blessing of God, if you want to please God and God in return bless you, then you need to be a doer, not merely a hearer of the Word of God. And there are many, 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 many Christians who hear but never do. They have many reasons for not doing it. Well, I'm very busy. Or I need to take time to take care of my kids. You know, they've got a lot of demands. I've got to take them here and take them there and take them there and take them. I just don't have time for God anymore. That goes on all the time today, doesn't it? And woe is the family that's too busy for God. That's a scary thought to me. He says, wait a minute, shouldn't we be doers of the word, not merely hearers? We hear what is right, we know what is right, but do we do what is right? You know, we sometimes pick on little kids for that, don't we? And certainly as a dad and a granddad, I remember vividly my children when they were growing up. You say the same thing to them over and over and over and over and over. And you wonder, are they ever going to get it? And then all of a sudden you realize, wow, they got it. And you're more surprised than they are. They got it. Don't you think God is that way with us? He keeps wondering, what's the problem? You've heard it, you've heard it, you've heard it, you've heard it. When are we going to get it and do it? Amen? In so many parts of our lives. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. God is looking for you and I to take His word and be more than a hearer. It's wonderful to come and hear. It's wonderful to sit and read. It's wonderful to listen to Christian music and the Bible on CD and all of that. That's all wonderful. But if all it's doing is going in here, spinning around a while, and going out here, then what has it accomplished? So he tells us, he says, I need you to really listen to me, but I need you to be a doer. And then he says something in the last part of that verse. I want you to notice it. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's a pretty powerful word for him to say to us, that we deceive ourselves when we hear the truth and don't do the truth. We deceive ourselves. Somehow we talk and we justify our behavior. He says, I see it as deceiving yourself. And you and I, we need to not be self-deceiving. And then he goes into using a mirror as an example. You know, he says to us in verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself, and then he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And I completely relate to this. I get up in the morning, I go into the bathroom, and I start getting ready for the day. You know, I've got to shave, I've got to comb my hair, I've got to do all those things that you do. And I look in the mirror and I think, man, who is that guy? Definitely not who I am. You know, I'm still 35 years old. I still get up and go. And I mean, I just took 5 little boys fishing last night. I mean, that's like trying to corral cats. I mean, you know, you just, it's like go and go and go and around you. I can still do that. I mean, I can't be older than 40. But I look in the mirror and this old guy's looking at me. And no matter what I do, he just doesn't look any different. But then when I leave and I get into my day and I get involved in my day and I get active and I get out there and I'm going, 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 I forget about the old guy in the mirror and I'm the 40, 35, 40-year-old going about my day, doing whatever I do, going, 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 going. And I forget all about the guy in the mirror. And I'm still 35, 40 years old. Now, I could deceive myself. And I could go and I could get hair plugs and I could get a facelift and I could dye my beard and the little bit of hair I have. And I could deceive myself into thinking that I still am 35. But would it make me 35? No. No matter what I do, I can't change what reality is. And that's what he's saying to us. He's saying God's word, when it's given to us, and we look in it, if we deceive ourselves, we're like that person who looks in the mirror. They see who they really are, but then they go about their day and they forget all about what's in the mirror. And that's what happens to people with the Bible. They sit down, they hear the word of God, they read it, they listen to it, they take it in, but then they go about their day and they forget all about it. He says, don't be self-deceiving in that way. He says, be a doer of the word of God. In fact, he comes down into verse 25. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So he gives to us some really powerful points here about hearing the word of God. He says, so we are hearers, but we're listening and we're not forgetting. We need to be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the perfect law of liberty. So that takes some initiative, doesn't it? The other day, I took the little grand boy, Sandy, and I, we took him up to the Air National Guard Museum up there. I'd never been there, and actually, it's quite interesting. So we took all five boys in there, and as we're doing the whole tour, they had this poster thing with facts about Vermont, and I told the boys, I said, if you'll learn two facts off of here, they're going to give you two prizes. Now, prizes are a motivator to kids who are 5 to 10 years old. So they read the facts, and they're going down through, well, Zachy, who I think is 7, yeah, I think he's 7, So Zachy's going down through this, and he's having a hard time. So I found a nice little one in there, and I told him what it is. And so he took it, and he went ahead and started reciting it to himself. He's walking around the museum, reciting it and reciting it. He's going down a thing. I see him come around the other side. He's still reciting it, reciting it. He is loaded for bear when it comes time to give this little factoid to the, you have to find an employee and you have to give him that fact. So he's repeating it and repeating it. And I can relate to that because I have to do that. You know, my gun safe at the house, if I'm going to go open the gun safe, I have to go find the number and then I've got to repeat it to myself all the way from where I found it till I get to the safe. Because I forget as soon as I open the safe. I don't know why I can't retain the thing, but I'd try for you, but then you'd know my safe number. I'm not going to do that. So I can relate to the 7-year-old because I do that. I will repeat in my mind those things to make sure I remember what I need to know. Well, he's telling you and I when it comes to the Word of God. He's saying, don't be a forgetful hearer. Put forth the effort to remember the truths that are there. But don't just remember them, do them. It's a practical thing. Do them. So little Zachy, we go through the whole museum, we come down, we're getting ready to go out the exit door, and there's a guy sitting in this room at a desk, and I stuck my hand in and I said, there's 5 little boys out here that are just really waiting to tell you 2 things about Vermont. And so he said, great. Got up, came out, and each one of the boys, they started, they went right down. One told his, the next one, and then went to Zachy. And Zachy, I mean, he's tense, he's ready, he starts, he stumbles a little, but then he goes for the finish. And he got it. Why? Because he practiced. He didn't allow himself to forget. If a 7-year-old can do that for a prize, can't we do that for life, for our Savior, for our God. He says, I've given to you the word of God so that you might please me. But I need you to hear it and do it. And to not be a forgetful hearer. But practice it. Do it. Make it a part of your life that you might be one who is blessed of the Lord. This is so practical. People make it so difficult. They say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, you got to spend time with the Bible. You know, I really didn't understand my wife until I spent time with my wife. You know, we would go out when we were in college, we dated. We've been together a long time. And so when we were dating, I would take her out for a really nice dinner. We'd go, because I was working in a machine shop at that time. I went to college days, worked in a machine shop till midnight. So when I'd get home, I'd study a little, sleep a little, and start the day over. And once a week, they had date night at the college we lived in. You couldn't date like on your own. You had to have date night. So we would go on a date. I would take her to a very nice restaurant. And then on the way home, back to the college campus, she often would ask me if I would stop and buy a box of donuts. And I really didn't understand that. I mean, I took her out to a nice restaurant. Who in the world wants a donut after a great night out with me and dinner? But being a nice guy and, you know, trying to woo this gal, absolutely, let me swing right in here, I'll get you some donuts. So I'd stop, I'd buy a box of donuts. Well, see, it wasn't until I really got to know Sandra Jo that I found out it's really not for her at all. She's bringing donuts back for the girls on the floor. So I'm buying donuts for all the girls on the floor, not for the girl that I'm trying to woo. They're all wanting to marry me by the time we're done dating. But we had to get to know each other before I understood all those little pieces. Same thing with God. You have to spend time with God. Spend time in His Word so that you understand Him and you understand His doings. You understand the mind of God through the Word of God. But you can't be a forgetful hearer. You must be a doer of the Word, for it's practical. It guides us and instructs us, not only in our social well-being, but in our spiritual well-being, even our eternal life. So God tells us, listen, listen, and then do the Word of God. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of our service this morning. As your head is bowed and as you look in your hearts, this morning, what has the Word of God said to you? Is there some area of your life where you know you're standing right on the edge of sin? He uses the word superfluity of naughtiness. That means excessive misbehavior. Is there some area of your life you know you need to deal with God? Today's the day to repent.